Welcome to episode 3 of the Principal's Office podcast. Today, we'll be discussing some COVID procedures, as well as student-owned Google Classrooms that were banned, kind of a controversial topic. And if we have enough time, we'll also be covering a little bit about TikToks. So if any of those things interest you, our special guests today are writers for the Liberty Middle School paper, and they are going to be sharing their information from those articles that they wrote.
The bell just rang. School's out. And you know what that means. It's time for you all to come to the principal's office.
Calm down. We're just kidding. It ain't like that. Do I sound creepy enough? Ooh. Welcome to the principal's office. Typically, when someone is sent to the principal's office, they're in trouble, but they get a chance to tell their side of the story. This podcast is a little like that. We want to hear your story. Young or old, we want to hear why you're important and what you feel is important. From students to staff and community members, this is the principal's office, and this is Tom Connolly.
All right. Well, welcome to our show today. I've got two members of, and you just told me this a second ago, what is the name of the school's newspaper?
The school's newspaper is called the Panther Press.
The Panther Press. I got two members of Panther Press here with me today. And we'll take a moment just to let each of them introduce themselves. I might ask them some questions here. But specifically, the Panther Press released, I guess it was the first digital edition of the newspaper. And these are two of the writers. They've written some interesting papers. And I thought we'd just take a moment to kind of just talk about the ideas, what might be behind that, or if there's any more to those stories in general. So let me start with you, sir. Tell us who you are.
I'm Kason Stram. I am in Mr. Armstrong's class for the Panther Press.
Okay. And what grade are you in?
Eighth grade.
And so you're a writer with Panther Press. Tell me about your family. Who all is in the family?
My mom, my dad, and my sister. My mom is an entrepreneur. My dad's an electrician, and my sister is in fifth grade. I was going to say you were her principal, or you were her principal at one point.
I was. I had her back at San Jacinto at some point.
Sir.
So, and I also remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a time, if we go back, I don't know how many years ago this was, but y'all attended a vacation Bible school at my church. And I just remember y'all were outside playing these games where we had, they were messy games. And somewhere I've got some pictures of that even. So you and your sister both attended, and it was always in the evening when we had that. So I don't know if y'all remember that. I want to say the theme was something to do with caves that year, Cave Quest or something.
I think I remember going to a vacation Bible school. I remember we used to always go outside and play.
If you've grown up in the community of Liberty in the summertime, that's like a major thing. Like, people go to all the vacation Bible schools at all the different churches. So anyway, that's a topic for maybe another time. So you've got a sister. You live at home with mom and dad. You said mom's an entrepreneur. And so where did that come? Because we were kind of discussing a little bit about that before we even started.
Her and one of her friends have started a few of their own businesses. My mom makes stickers, like decals, that she puts on shirts and stuff. She can put it on anything, really. And she also has this business called Creative Yard Cards. And she'll go, just put yard cards in your yard that they can really say anything from happy birthday to
just congratulating anything.
Anything, really.
Yes. Yeah, so many people in our community probably see the end result of those businesses. And so I kind of knew a little bit about that because I've worked with Ms. Freejay, who has partnered with your mom in a lot of these business ideas. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that that's out there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's a little bit about Kaysen, and who else do we have here?
My name's Samuel Garcia.
Okay, Samuel Garcia, and what grade are you in?
Eighth.
Eighth grade. Okay, so Samuel, I'm going to give you some similar questions here. Tell me a little bit about your family.
I have a huge family. My dad, my stepmom, my mom, my sister, my baby sister, and my brother.
So you've got two sisters and a brother?
Yeah.
Did I hear that right? So how old is the brother?
He's like 2 years older than me.
2 years older than you. So he's at the high school right now?
Yeah.
And you got two sisters?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about those two sisters. What are their names and what grade levels are they in?
One of my sisters is Noella Garcia. She's in like LES. My other sister, she's 1 year old, so she's not in any grade.
She's not in any. You don't know what she wants to do with her life yet, huh?
No.
It's kind of funny. Some kids, even at that age, it's like you can get a good idea of what they want to do in life. I know that I remember Noella coming through at San Jacinto, and we ask kids a lot of times at that age level, we're like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, they've got a lot of them have these ideas about, because they know a lot about community role models. So there's a lot of kids that want to be firefighters. They want to be doctors. A lot of them want to be teachers, policemen. But then you always have some interesting things that come up. Like, I always love it when one kid will say, I want to drive dirt bikes, you know, something like that. And it's just like, okay, you know, somebody's got this cool idea of what they're going to do with their future. So you've got a big family?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some good points about having a big family?
Well, you get to go to more places. You get more things. Well, there's some cons and pros.
Well, you can tell me the cons and the pros.
The cons are that there are a lot of things that they want. A lot of things. And there's just a little money to go around sometimes.
Okay, so sometimes you gotta share.
Yeah.
Interesting. So in my family, I have, you know, I had mom, dad, and my brother, just one brother. But, you know, just like if you have one brother, that means there's things you got to share. Like I'm sure with sister, there's things you got to share.
Yes, sir.
One of the toughest things in a family to share is the bathroom. It's like there's, Samuel, if you're thinking about at home, it's like there's always someone every time you need to go to the bathroom, there's probably somebody in there or they left something there or whatever. And you've got to. You're fighting over real estate with that. So I remember when my brother first came home, I'm the older brother. And so when the younger brother showed up, I remember instantly, it's like I lost real estate. That's like property. I lost things real quick. I remember I lost G.I. Joe's instantly when he arrived and having to share things. And we had bunk beds. That should indicate to you we had to share a room. When we started out. So, yeah, there are definitely, you know what the cons are, but there are some pros.
That's kind of how I feel with hot water in our house. Before, my sister likes to take 2 hour long showers.
Oh my goodness.
Probably something like that. And then whenever I go to take a shower, I'll turn the water on and it's just freezing cold all over me.
It's just freezing cold. So you don't take a 2 hour shower?
No.
I take it.
Take like a 2 minute shower.
Oh my goodness. Having to share hot water. That's you're learning a lesson at a prime age that'll help shape your future with that. So anyway, I'm sorry to hear that, Kaysen. All right. So here we are. I've got two gentlemen. Actually, there was a third person that was going to join us who just didn't happen to be here at school today. We will catch up with Adriana Parga. We'll catch up with her on a later podcast because I'm sure, and this is the thing, she had a really interesting topic. We may talk a little bit about Adriana's topic, just a little bit, just because it's interesting. I know that these two gentlemen could tell me a whole lot more than I know about it, and it's her article was on TikTok. And so I hear about TikTok. I've got an idea of what you could do with TikTok. But I'm by far and away, I am not the expert on TikTok here. So I'm going to kick this over to Case in a little bit. Tell us what your article was about.
My news article was about COVID procedures at the Liberty Independent School District. It's like about like what happens if you were to get the coronavirus and how the procedure would go, how long you would stay out of school, who else would have to quarantine if you were around people. And it was mainly just telling you, say, like, if you were around, like, in a confined space with multiple people, say, right now, if one of us were to have the coronavirus, we probably would all have to quarantine for 14 days due to how close we are to each other.
Okay, so right now, how far apart do you think we are?
Two, 3 feet.
About 3 feet. And what about, how far are you from?
Probably like 4 feet from Sammy.
Okay, and I'm about the same. There's a desk in between us. So we probably need to, we probably need to have something that spreads us apart maybe even further.
Probably, because the COVID procedures that the state has provided us with says that we need to be 6 feet apart.
Okay, so we're doing our best in this situation, but it's hard right now to put together a podcast and be exactly 6 feet apart. I don't know. You know what? Our listeners wouldn't have known that unless you told them that over the podcast, Kaysen. So thank you.
I don't think they'll care too much.
Well, I do want to tell you this. I do believe people care about this because it's serious. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to be concerned about these things. So as you were reading or calling, did you call people or email? How'd you find all this stuff out about these procedures?
I emailed Ms. Smith, a few of these people up at in the front office. I think I emailed you about it and like asking about if y'all had anything to do with how the COVID procedures were set up, if you know anybody who's had to go through the COVID procedures, and even if yourself has had to go through them.
So just as a question, out of curiosity, before you did this, how often, if you needed information, do you start emailing people, or is this something new?
This is probably something new to us.
But email's not new in and of itself, but really, students, if they wanted to know something before this year, I don't know. This is the first time in my life I've been getting this many emails from students.
Well, since we can't really walk around the school as much this year due to the COVID procedures, it's also a lot easier just to email people if you have any questions instead of risking getting the coronavirus.
So if you wanted to communicate with other people, how do you normally communicate with them?
It depends on where they're at, really. If you're like on one side of the school and they're on the other and you can't really go to them, it'd be easiest to email them. But if you're like maybe a class away, you'd usually be able to go ask them the question yourself if it was like a student asking a teacher or something. But now that everything's changed this year, it's a lot easier just to email.
So when you are asking these questions, like I remember getting the email from you, did you find anything out that was surprising to you?
Honestly, no. Most of the things I found out I've already known about, like the 14-day quarantine that you have to take. You have to get COVID tested if you were like in a confined space with people. Normal stuff that you could assume would happen.
So that kind of, I know that one of the things that is, there's no easy way of putting it. It's difficult. Is that here at school we have things where we have assigned seats, which in sixth and seventh grade you didn't have assigned seats, or at least I wouldn't think it wouldn't have been this widespread.
No, sir, we didn't. It was a lot better in sixth and seventh grade, especially at lunch. Now that we have assigned seats and we have to sit a foot apart, a lot of the people have to like sit on desks, or not desks, tables away from all their friends, and a lot of people don't even get to sit by their friends at all because of the beginning of the school year. We got assigned seats on, I think, the third day of school, and ever since then, we have to also get checked before we go and get our lunch if we're eating on the tray, to make sure that we're in our assigned seat.
So, and that's kind of a, that would definitely be a con.
For sure.
For sure. So it, one of the things that COVID, the COVID precautions that, and I think I get this as an adult, that it's really difficult, is it hampers the social aspect of getting along with your friends. You know, being able to have time to just visit with people, it's difficult with that. Like if you're quarantined and you're told to stay at home, I guess it doesn't get much worse than that.
Not really. The only thing we can do if we're quarantined is text, call, talk to them mobily, really. We can't. It's a lot better to see your friends in person, so you can talk to them like that.
It's not the same to be on a Skype or a Zoom or FaceTiming or something. You know, I have two daughters, and one of them is in college in Springfield, Missouri, and she's had to quarantine twice. And when she's had to quarantine, they told her, she hasn't had COVID yet. I say yet because I don't know. It almost seems if you're watching the news like it's inevitable that eventually we're gonna have to deal with that our personal lives. That's just, I'm not saying that I know that for a fact. That's just something that's in my heart, what I feel like eventually I'm gonna have to deal with this. And so Emily, my oldest, she's in college, and the first time that she was quarantined, she's on their volleyball team, and they told one of the other girls had COVID. And so she was riding in the van with this person. This was kind of like one of her pals. I don't know if they shared a room, but basically they told her when she got back that she was quarantined to her dorm room, and she wasn't allowed out. Like, I think they were allowed on two different days in the week for 1 hour they could go outside. But other than that, they had to stay in their dorm room. They couldn't go take clothes to the laundromat to go get prepared. So it's like whatever you had, and if you didn't have cool things in your dorm room, you just were looking at the walls. So it's very depressing to hear that, you know, just to hear her side of that. So I've heard about the social parts of it because I've experienced stuff in my own life, but it always brings it home when you can hear directly from students about, you know, how quarantining, social distancing, the assigned seats, all the social, anything that we're doing, how it affects them. And I would assume, tell me what's your perspective on that? The good, the bad, the otherwise?
About COVID?
Yeah, or just about what we have to do to with the measures that we have to put in place, like the assigned seats and the social distancing.
Yeah, it seems like a bit too much.
It seems like a bit too much?
Yeah. I mean, masks won't really do that much. Plus, like, my brother, he had to go quarantining because he was near someone with COVID at the high school. He didn't get it, and he still had to stay at home.
Did it drive him nuts having to stay at home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got better grades, which was kind of surprising.
Why is it surprising to you?
Because most of the people who are virtual right now are kind of failing.
Oh, my goodness. So, I don't want to talk about anybody that might be failing, but it is difficult if you're at home doing things virtually. And, I mean, you just don't have the same access to ask questions. It's more difficult to connect with a classmate that might understand something differently than you do, and it always helps to be able to ask questions. And when you're at home, it's just more difficult. So I can see what you're saying. It is a difficult prospect if you're at home, but somehow your brother did better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is he still in quarantine or is he?
He isn't anymore.
He isn't anymore. I bet he's glad. He wants to see his friends. Okay. So there are some definite pros and cons. And you said most of the information that you collected out there didn't seem to surprise you. You seemed to know, kind of knew what to anticipate with that.
Yes, sir. I knew most of it already because the cheerleaders here at LMS, they all had to quarantine for 14 days because whenever they were at the football game, they had gotten to a close huddle, and one of the people on the cheer team had gotten the coronavirus. So everybody in the cheer team had to quarantine for 14 days. And I talked to a lot of them about it, and they said it was quite difficult. Like, it was a lot different from normal school.
Okay.
Having to do it online.
I agree. There's a lot of challenges with this. So, do you think, just from a student's perspective, this is a question for both of y'all, do you feel that some of the measures that have been put in place as far as what has happened, like I heard what your opinion was on the mask, but do you feel that any of these are helping keep anybody safer?
I mean, they kind of are a little bit.
Kind of are?
I think a lot of the stuff they're doing could be helpful, like separating at lunch and wearing masks during class, because the masks don't really help us from like airflow, but they definitely help from, say, spitting on someone else, like whenever you're coughing or even whenever you're talking. And the coronavirus can spread through a lot of different ways. And the mask help a little bit, but not as much as some people make it out to be.
So, and I'm not going to get into any of the political mess. I'm sure you hear enough of that concerning coronavirus. But definitely when we're dealing with these different things, there's a wide amount of opinions on what works, what doesn't work, and what helps with people. And so I kind of, when you look at this, I always conclude it this way. I'm not a doctor. And so these doctors that have helped develop these protocols with the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control, and so when they've come up with these things, it's my job to choose to trust them or not to. Just like when in this field in education, there's people out there that have opinions on how things are done in education, but there's experts in education just as well. So you kind of let the people that are in their field, they do their job, and then we have to choose to trust them. So that's a lot of interesting stuff there about COVID. And, you know, there's been other topics that we've talked about in previous podcasts. If you're interested in checking those out, they had different perspectives from students and parents about how COVID was affecting them and what their thoughts were and concerns were in coming to school. And so we've had some seventh graders and some sixth graders on the show, and today we have eighth graders. And so is there anything else that maybe I'm not thinking of here, Kaysen, with within your article or even outside of your article that is worthy of discussing about COVID procedures or anything related to that?
I don't think so. So far, you've got all the right information about it, just about everything I've covered in my article.
So who probably had the most amount of information when you were talking to them about this?
Probably Ms. Smith. She helped me with, like, who set up the COVID procedures and, like, what they are. Dr. Apsher never emailed me back, but I'm pretty sure he'd have a lot of information about it too.
Oh, Dr. Apsher, we'll have to get on him about that. But and just for those people that, in case you're not sure who Ms. Smith is, because Ms. Smith is a common last name, but it's Ms. Rhonda Smith is the principal here at Liberty Middle School, and rightfully so. She should be the expert on our campus that would know that information. And so I'm glad she was able to be of help for you to write that article. Now we're going to take just a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to visit with Samuel. Now, his article is, I guess it could be a byproduct of what happened with COVID, but his article, I'm just going to tease this a little bit. It's a little bit more controversial than COVID procedures, which is one of the reasons why I really wanted to get Samuel in on this particular. Anything you want to tease out there about your thing before we go to break?
Not really.
Okay, well, that's my big tease, is there's a little bit of controversy with Samuel's article. All right, we're going to head to break, and we'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to The Principal's Office with Tom Conaway.
All All right, we are back with the Principal's Office podcast, and this is Tom Conley. I'm the assistant principal at Liberty Middle School, and just as we are kind of heading to our break, we teased it just a little bit with a little bit of controversy with Samuel's article. Samuel, tell me what your article, what it's titled.
Student-owned Google Classrooms getting banned.
Okay, so like whenever you say something is banned, we're like getting into censorship, and that to me is always like there's a certain amount of controversy, because usually if something's banned, that means somebody wanted something and they were overruled on it and like things disappeared. So what do you find out? Like what actually, before we say what do you find out, what how did you decide to write on that topic?
I decided on it after, I made my own about a bakery kind of stuff, teaching how to bake and that, and, a few days later it gets banned, and then I try to look on the other ones and they're all gone.
So this kind of came out of personal experience?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you feel when your, Google Classroom was banned?
I was really confused. Confused. I didn't really nothing.
So you're confused, and so what did you do when you saw that your Google Classroom was banned?
I mainly just, went to my friends and asked them about it, and they didn't know really much about it.
So how did you come to the realization that this wasn't, like, just a glitch with software or something, that you figured out that it was banned?
I went to one of my teachers, and he said that they got banned because some of the kids were getting distracted by it.
Okay, so if you're out there and you don't go to school in Liberty, because I think every student in Liberty knows what a Google Classroom is, what exactly is a Google? What is Google Classroom?
It's like a software that lets you learn about said things. Or, like, school. It's mainly used for school.
Is it kind of like, this is an office. We're in my office. And if I was a teacher here, we would be in what?
A school.
Or a classroom.
Yes.
We'd be in my classroom. And so the Google Classroom, the way I always picture it, isn't it kind of like a virtual classroom?
Yeah.
So you go there to your teacher's Google Classroom, and there's lessons that are in there, and work and assignments, and so you can do those assignments there.
Yeah.
And then you turn them in there.
Basically.
And does the teacher grade them there too?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, is there a way that, let's say, like if you're what if you and Kaysen were in the same class? Is there a way that y'all can communicate with each other within the Google Classroom?
Not really. We could just, post something in the chat bar, but that'd be, distracting and stuff.
So you can chat to each other if you need to, or ask questions?
Yeah.
And you could chat to the teacher? Mm-hmm. Does within the Google Classroom, do y'all ever go into like a Google Meet?
Yeah, we used to.
Okay, and what's a Google Meet?
It's where you have to go somewhere to meet up with someone.
Is it just one person you'd meet up with?
No, it's like a whole class.
Like the whole class could meet there and they can talk? Mm-hmm. And are there features within that where you can also chat?
There is. There's a chat bar.
Okay. So there's a way within this Google Classroom, and what you had figured out is there's a way you could make your own classroom.
Yeah, I did.
Can you still make a classroom, do you think, or would it just get banned? Or?
You can't make it anymore. They took that out of the options. You can only add in one that's already currently existing.
Okay, so you can add those, but you used to be able to make your own. Okay, so when you made your own, you said it was about, what was your classroom, what was it about again?
It was about bakery. and how to bake and stuff.
Okay, so is that an interest of yours?
Yeah.
So tell me, what do you like to bake?
Sweets and stuff. Anything, really.
Well, Samuel, you're my friend here. So you like to bake sweets, huh? Like cookies?
Yeah.
So what does it take to like what on earth would I have to do to be able to get cookies?
I mean, mainly go to the store.
Maybe there's a Google store for that where we can go and pick up stuff. But so you got banned and you found out, if I remember right in your article, you talked to several other students that also were banned.
Mm-hmm.
And so what other types of Google classrooms were banned?
There were hangouts for them. There were like other types of ones. One of my friends, he had one about ants, which was in the finale of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was mainly a lot.
So tell me, in that article, did you ever find out, did they ever say why they were banned? Did you hear from anyone at the school why they were banned?
Yeah, I did. I think it was Eleni Rosser or something.
Okay, Miss Rosser.
Mm-hmm. They got banned because kids were getting distracted by them. Like, they wouldn't do their tasks in the other one because they were busy in the ones that they made.
Okay, so when we, and I'm going to gather from that, they were distracted because were they doing that maybe instead of the schoolwork they were supposed to?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm going to play a little, well, maybe it's not devil's advocate here, but let's pretend you were the, let's say you're in my position, you're the assistant principal of the school. What would you, like if you had this issue in front of you, you got students that are not doing their work with that, what would you have done if you had the power to make any decision on that?
I would have warned them about it.
Given them a warning?
Yeah.
And then hopefully that would correct it. What if it didn't correct itself?
If it didn't, I'd tell them a date that I'd ban them and to, like, find a new way to talk.
And then you hit them with the ban hammer?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, so what do you... When you wrote this article, because it was neat to me, I thought this is neat that you got a platform where you've experienced something that is frustrating, because you had something that was banned and taken away from you, but yet you still were able to write about it to express yourself on that. Do you like having the ability to be able to do that?
I mean, I did. It was pretty fun. We tried to find a way to Google me because we tried to find a new way to do it because it got banned first.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also got banned because it was distracting. So we found Zoom or something. I can't remember what it was. But it also got banned with the classrooms.
Okay. So is it safe to say that since we've had COVID, it just feels like more is being taken away than anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how life is with COVID. Because if we all have to go into a quarantine in the future, it just means it's something else you lose or whatever. Well, that is a shame, COVID's kind of a thief in a way. It keeps taking away from us. So is there anything, can you tell me from your perspective, either one of you, that since COVID and using all these devices that, that you would say maybe there's something good that came out of it?
I think that it's a lot easier to do our work on the Chromebooks. I mean, that's actually pretty controversial. A lot of people that I've asked about it and talked to about it say they like paper more. But personally, I like the Chromebooks more because you can't really lose anything on them. And you can, like, it'll tell you whenever they're missing. It'll tell you the due date for everything. It'll tell you just about everything you need to know about that paper and how to do it.
Interesting.
I agree with that. A good thing that came out of it is, Well, less interaction.
Less interaction. Well, Samuel, you know, one thing that, even though you didn't state this, that I'm picking up when I'm listening to you, when you made that Google Classroom, the only thing that I could say to that is that it was almost like creating a website, you know, a place that you can go or other people could go and you could showcase your interests, your talents, and they could come see that. And I will say this, I mean, even from an administrative perspective, it's a shame that if things were being abused in other places by that's the end result was that it was banned. But I don't know without COVID if we would have explored being able to put your thoughts, like maybe at one point in time you will end up creating your own website and be able to share those things and put your creativity, just like we're doing today. At the end of all this, in a podcast, we're going to put our interests and our talents, and we'll publish this, and some people will be interested and listen, and other people may not, and they pass it up, which is such is life. But if it wasn't for the current condition, I don't know that we would have thought of doing a podcast where we could talk, because here at the school, a lot of times when we want to showcase things before COVID, we would have big assemblies, we'd have parent nights, different things where people would come, and they call those like super spreader events. So we kind of put that down, and then we're trying to do things like, I think it's interesting. We'll have to publish some of the, we've had some virtual pep rallies. Did y'all think like some of the things that were, I think Mr. Armstrong has some interesting stuff to say in that last virtual pep rally. But, I mean, we're still trying to do things and tell a story and share what we're doing. Just like with the presidential race in the eighth grade, we had a lot of interesting stuff that came out of that. And we were publishing it on our social media so that parents could see kind of what we're doing, our community members. So I do appreciate you guys coming in and sharing with this. And rather than go to a break, I guess what we'll wrap this up with on our thing, we're not going to talk about Adriana, but I don't know. I just, out of curiosity, I know that you guys didn't write this article and do the research on it, but tell me something about TikToks. Like, is there a way that you could use TikToks here at school?
Yes, actually. On TikTok, there's a few people that give actual really good information. Like, there's this one person that I follow that helps me with math, and they're actually quite helpful. They can teach us anything from simple addition all the way up to calculus, and makes a lot of stuff a lot easier. And there's science people that will tell you science facts, just about anything you need to know, even if not all of it's true. Because people always say, don't believe everything you hear on the internet. A lot of it seems quite like it would sound true. And TikTok has taught me a lot, even if it wasn't true.
Even if it wasn't true. So, and Samuel, do you know anything about TikToks?
Well, the TikTok I really interact with, I don't really like TikTok that much. Because whenever I try to do something, there's going to be like one toxic TikTok person towards me, and then they just get mad at me for no reason.
So tell me this, like, pretend I didn't know anything about TikTok, and I'm thinking you're talking about TikTok, and I'm thinking, well, that's what a clock might do. What on earth is a TikTok?
It's like some website where you gather up with others to like a little shorts. I don't really know. They mainly focus on dances or something like that.
Some people don't use dances in it, but you're saying math and science?
Well, there's a lot of different things. There's TikToks that people, they do teach you stuff on there, but there's also people who just, there's a trend, TikTok dances. You probably have, if you have any kids and you're listening to this, you probably heard your kids doing the dances or saw them doing them. And you probably have TikTok, in all honesty, because it's a very popular app going around, and there's a lot of different things. It's very widespread. You can do just about anything on it.
So what's the, like, I know what Instagram is. What's the difference between TikTok and Instagram?
TikTok has, like, a lot more people on it for sure. It's more, I mean, it started off as a kid's app, but it's definitely changed since the very beginning of it. And TikTok is only videos. You don't
only
really,
videos. Are they long videos?
They're up to a minute long, not long at all. They can range from 5 seconds to a minute long.
And so why do y'all think TikToks have become very popular?
Because a lot of famous people enjoy watching and using TikTok. And, you know, it's a trend. If a famous person likes something, other people are going to like it, and then it just keeps going on and on.
Is it hard to make a TikTok?
Not really. It depends on what you like. If you're into dancing and you're good at dancing, you could probably get TikTok famous pretty quickly.
And so, but you're saying that people also use this, like, do you have to dance to do a TikTok? Because, no. I mean, if that's the case, I'll never, I'm done with TikTok already, but do you have to dance?
No, in TikTok, you don't even have to make videos if you don't want to. You can just scroll through your For You page, as they call it, and it'll show you anything. Like, say you're scrolling through your For You page and see a video of a dog, and you share that video to somebody, TikTok will see that you shared that video and see that you enjoy that kind of video, and it'll show you more of that type of video.
They're kind of snooping on you.
Kind of. They're kind of... Like Trump was saying at the beginning of this year, how he wanted to ban TikTok. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have heard that because it was owned by a Chinese company. And since, I mean, they obviously gave themselves away by, like, going into your videos and, like, seeing what you've shared and everything. And Trump thought that they were going to, like, what's the word?
Like stealing information.
Yeah, stealing information. I read it in an article once.
Okay. Well, that is interesting, but the idea behind TikTok is it's a video, it's relatively short because it's a minute or less. That's a big difference. And so you can view these things, but is it hard to make a TikTok? Or does it have anything within it that helps you? Like, I know when I see students using something like Snapchat, they do it a lot they use the filters and stuff, and it helps you make your post. Does TikTok assist you in making your video at all?
There's a lot of different things you can really do on TikTok. There's filters whenever you're making a video. After you make the video, you can add effects to it. Say you want to slow it down or put it in reverse. And instead of, like, having to hold the phone and stuff, you can put a timer down to where, like, before it starts the video, you can put a timer to start the video. So say you want to set your phone somewhere and then run off and do the dance far away from the phone. You could, like, it's kind of like on Snapchat. You can put a timer to take the picture, or not the picture, the video.
It's got some special effects, basically.
There's a lot of different things that help you make the videos.
Well, I'll have to do a little bit more educating on this, and maybe next time that we're on, if we can get Adriana on here, she can give me a little education on TikToks as well, because it's kind of interesting to hear about that. That was one of the main reasons why I wanted her to come on, is because I knew very little about TikTok, and so I appreciate you guys kind of filling in for her and sharing a little bit of information. So before we go, is there anything that you guys want to share before we go?
No, sir, I don't think so.
You got everything covered?
Just about.
Sammy, what about you? Any shout-outs to anybody?
Kason, were you ever in a Google Classroom?
Yes, actually. I was put, not in your baking one. I think it was one that Jordan Brown, a student here at LMS, made. He's one of my pretty close friends. He's a good person, and he made one of the Google Classrooms. I think it was one of the Hangout ones you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it got banned after a few days in it. It was actually pretty fun to talk in, and it never really distracted me from class, but a lot of my friends were in it, and we would just really talk in, like, the chat bar thing and just have conversations whenever we're not in class, and it helped us stay social with each other. How many Google Classrooms were you in, Sammy?
Two. The same one as you.
Okay. So on those, in that chat, is there any alternatives to that? Like, that would be your way of, like, if y'all were hanging out in between classes and were able to get together and talk, but you're having to do it through a virtual classroom? Sort of, maybe.
Wait, what was your question again? I'm sorry, I got sidetracked.
So, like, when y'all would get in there and y'all would be able to visit with your that Google Classroom, was that kind of like the equivalent of, if we weren't in COVID, like being able to get together in between classes and visit about something?
Probably, but it's a lot better to be in person with people, but it's probably the better for right now, the better thing to do right now.
Are there any alternatives to this, or do y'all, in your free time, when you're away from this, do you still engage your friends? Do y'all talk on the phone, or do you text message? I know you don't go home and start emailing people.
No, I don't really email any of my friends from home, but I have Snapchat and Instagram, and I usually text people who I don't have their number from there, and that's just how I, like, keep in touch with people. And I still go hang out with a few of my friends every now and then.
You got anything to add to that?
I did find a way to, like, a new type of Google Classroom.
Do you want to give that information away, or do you think it'll be banned?
I mean, one of my friends probably will get it banned anywho. But you can use Google Slides and make your own slides and then share it with others.
Okay. That's another way. We won't tell Miss Rosser.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. So also, I guess on the flip side of that, and I know I said we're closing this out, but this brings up an interesting point, because in that article, we're talking about how things were taken away. If you could, you know, I don't know which teachers will listen to this, but is there a way that you think that we could, and maybe you don't have the answer to this, but these tools such as Classroom, could they be used differently? Could things like TikTok be used to help learning come along so that we can be social? And also, like, I kind of wonder if you got to dance, or you can dance in TikTok, like, could that be used in PE in some way that would make learning more fun, more enjoyable?
I've seen a few TikToks that show you workout routines that would, like, instead of, like, working out and getting so tired and stuff, it kind of makes working out fun and stuff. That could help in PE.
You could make your own workout TikTok?
Yes, sir. You can make any TikTok you want, whether it be a workout TikTok, to an informational TikTok, to a dancing TikTok, anything really. I mean, you can make a TikTok about this interview, this podcast.
Could we? I don't know. I don't know if anyone will tune into that. I don't know how to make that interesting. It would probably be the biggest dud. I don't know. Yeah. It may go viral just because everyone will laugh at Mr. Connolly trying to make a TikTok. But anyway, Samuel, any last thoughts? I don't want to put any extra pressure on you here, but anything else that you have that you wanted to share?
None.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up here. I appreciate you two gentlemen giving me your time after school today. We'll get this published as soon as we can. And so for any of you out there who are listening, we always ask that you subscribe to our podcast, the Principal's Office Podcast. Give us a like on this. If you see it on social media, go ahead and share that out with your friends. This will be on the Liberty Middle School Facebook page. And so if you want to share that or post it anywhere else, you are more than welcome to. We appreciate your support in that. I think that's about all that we have for today. And thank you again from those of us at Liberty Middle School. My name is Tom Connolly. Again, I'm the assistant principal here at Liberty Middle School, and we will see you soon. Bye.
You've been listening to The Principal's Office with Tom Connolly. Usually going to the principal's office is an awful experience, but we hope this time you've been entertained, and we hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to like, rate, and review. And find Tom Connolly on Twitter at Tom Connolly, and find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Till next time, this is the Principal's Office, signing off.